Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into hour number two of The Early Line. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Wall, Sirius XM channel 159, bringing that heat here. And of course, man, I am all fired up. It's week zero coming up. We just previewed part of the Big Ten. We'll get to that in hour number two, the second half of the Big Ten. But it never stops in the NBA, Kevin. It's the offseason in the NBA. We're supposed to be resting and relaxing before we get to training camps in September. But the one thing that doesn't seem to calm down, it's Kevin Durant. And where is he going to wind up? Each and every week, we get a small morsel of where he might wind up, Kevin. And today, it looks like the possibility of the Grizzlies. Talk to us on this.
Interesting stuff coming from Shams Charania as he is reporting that the Memphis Grizzlies seem to be entering the KD sweepstakes at a little more serious leverage point than a big list of teams that we ultimately will get to. Mention that Memphis has five first-round draft picks that they can trade, four of those unprotected that belong to Memphis. Another one of those comes from Golden State that I do believe has a couple of protections on it. The interesting thing, though, is it has also immediately come with the caveat that they don't intend to include Desmond Bain or Jaren Jackson Jr., which is fascinating because if you've been paying attention to the Brooklyn Nets asking price, I assume that they would ask for Desmond Bain and Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, I am sure that plenty of Memphis Grizzlies fans would laugh off the notion of trading both of those young stars, but I don't know if just one of them is enough to get a deal done. If I were to tell you, though, that this team ultimately pairs Ja Morant and Kevin Durant, it would feel like it gives you a much better chance to go out there and try and get to a Western Conference Finals, right? To go out there and see if you can maybe make a legitimate NBA Finals run. What becomes of your starting lineup? I feel like the way Memphis has produced talent around this basketball team, you worry less and less about that, right? The finals odds yesterday were 24-1 with the news, dropped a bit, 21-1. Western Conference odds now 10-1. The win total here is 48.5. The thing with Memphis, though, DRS, right? As you look at the overall title odds right now, this team checks in outside, or I guess tied for the 10th best odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook. With KD, even if they did send out Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr., which I agree is unlikely, but we'll go with the extreme, I think they'd enter the top five title odds all of a sudden.
I do think they will as well, because you're adding an all-elite talent here, Kevin. You like that little pun played in there. Now, having said that, If we're looking at Kevin Durant, you're just playing with your friends here, Kevin. You have like a fantasy league. I love this between NBA GMs and owners and how the fans talk about it. You have Kevin Durant on your side. Hey, look, Kevin Durant's for sale on my fantasy team. What do you guys want? I don't know if I want to include Bain and Jaren. No, I'm actually asking for Ja Morant and Bain and Jackson along with them to get Kevin Durant here. Why in the NBA, when we try to make these deals where the team doesn't want to give up a younger, are you kidding me? You're not going to include Desmond Bain and draft picks here to get Kevin Durant to line up, as you said, with Ja Morant and go out and win an NBA championship. Why do NBA teams do this?
I don't know what is exactly going on, though, with this specific negotiation, because this is an extreme here, Donnie, ultimately. The radio audience, by the way, is live with us on a Tuesday morning, Sirius XM, channel 159. You're listening to The Early Line. Desmond Bane, again, I like Desmond Bane, right? But I don't know. I mean, he's already 24, right? He was an older player, perhaps coming out of college there, played all 4 years at TCU. But that's not even the point. That's not even the point. It's the fact that every team that seems to call Brooklyn offers up a trade package that makes it seem like Kevin Durant is only eligible to play for them for 40 games and then walk as a free agent. I mean, there is not a single team, Donnie, that right now is putting forward their best foot. And we are a month away, a little bit more, from NBA action. Training camp, though, is approaching. October 18th is opening day. I do not understand how it doesn't appear that anybody has offered up their best, maybe outside of the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, so if we're looking at the other teams that are involved in this process here, and obviously, you know, I chew on the Philadelphia 76ers, but in that same vein, Kevin, you look like we're not giving up Desmond Bane. There's no way we trade Tyrese Maxey for Kevin Durant and try to win a championship here. Who of that list where we've heard who had connections to Kevin Durant, who is going to win this race, or does he stay right there in Brooklyn?
So Shams finally at least provided us a list of 10 that have called on KD. The Celtics, the Suns, the Raptors, and the Heat, I think, have been viewed as the most serious of the threats. Okay, solid. But again, Boston Celtics could get this deal done today. They just seemingly are not all too rushed or bothered. The Bucks called. The Nuggets called. That's interesting. To pair KD with some MVP-level talents in Giannis and Jokic. The Pelicans called, but have said don't ask for Brandon Ingram. The Hawks offered up John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, and a draft pick. That actually might be the best they can offer up. Give them credit for calling, but that's not going to get a deal done. Here is the thing, though. You look at that list of teams. Does Kevin Durant make every single one of them an NBA contender? I think the answer is yes. How do you have 10 teams and nobody's offering you your best? I do not know what the Brooklyn Nets are doing. I don't want to run it out on you, Donnie, so we'll come back and we'll get you that Major League Baseball preview that you're craving.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on the early line, taking a look. Major League Baseball board begins with the Phillies and the Reds. Close series here. It just feels like we've been breaking down Ranger Suarez and Lodolo for days. It's just because they just had a series pretty recently, though. Nevertheless, Ranger Suarez, minus 220. Man, big time numbers on the Philadelphia Phillies these days. Total is an 8. What are we seeing here, Philly versus Cincinnati?
Yeah, apparently the Phillies' aces are Noah Syndergaard and Ranger Suarez at this point, because that's how they're getting priced right now. Nice win for the Phillies yesterday, kept it a low-scoring affair. And quite frankly, Kevin, I look at it today, maybe another low-scoring affair on the deck today. Lodolo, who, keep in mind, two starts previous, wasn't a very good pitcher. Last game against the Philadelphia Phillies, he was a dominant pitcher. And why does he match up well? Well, he's a lefty on the mound, Kevin, going up against a predominantly right-handed lineup today. And why does that make sense to back Lodolo if you want to, or even for a lower scoring game? Take a look at this. 108 batters he's faced from the right-hand side over the past 30 days. A 306 weighted on base percentage, which is below the average, which is good. But how about this? An ISO power number of an 097. Then we flip it over to Ranger Suarez. How about him over the past 30 days here? A 3.23 xFIP number, K right around 25%, and look at these splits. Suarez also a left-handed pitcher, an 072 weighted on base percentage to lefties with a zero ISO power number. Flip that over to righties. 96 batters he's faced, Kevin, a 259 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 092. And also, taking a look at the lineup today, anticipated in for the Cincinnati Reds. First six batters in the lineup, ISO power numbers over the past month for his left-handed pitching. Get this, 114, 0, 037, 0, and 0. And also, Romine, out of the nine hole today, also a 0 ISO power number. I'm looking for the Phillies to win this game, similar to what they did yesterday, staying under the total as well in Philadelphia.
The last time the last time they were both out there was up against one another in Cincinnati. Both pitched 7 scoreless innings. It was a 1-0 final. First 5 totals, 4.5. Minus 122 towards that under, but that's a nice number there. if you're willing to trust the under and trust these pitchers seeing these lineups again in pretty quick short order. The White Sox will go to Baltimore for a series. Dylan Cease has the ball and is only minus 142 in Baltimore. I know how good the Orioles have been. I know how trustworthy the White Sox are. It doesn't mean the number can't surprise me. I'm surprised by it, Donnie. I would have expected more for Dylan Cease in Baltimore. What about you?
Yeah, usually we just look at these two teams, and based on prior experiences over the past few years, Chicago White Sox should roll over and win this game easily, but maybe not the case. If we're taking a look at the last month, Cease does have a little bit high of an xFIP number approaching 5, but his splits are still fantastic. If you take a look at those, a 269 weighted on base average to lefties, a 275 to righties. But let's take a look here also how the Chicago White Sox lineup matches up against Voth. If you take a look at his xFIP number, is approaching 5. But how about this? Take a look at these splits here. He's faced about 100 batters, Kevin, over the past 30 days, 45 from the left-hand side. They've gotten to him a little bit here. A 332 weighted on base percentage, which is slightly elevated, but the ISO power number of 244 is really high, and that's where you can do your damage. But if we're looking at this lineup here for the Chicago White Sox, they're going to put together a lot of right-handed batters. The only lefties anticipated here are Moncada, who actually has an ISO power number of 103 against right-handed pitching over the past month, and Gavin Sheets here at a 224. He's actually done very well with that ISO power number against right-handed pitching. But the reason I bring this up is we do have a lot of right-handed batters here for the White Sox, anticipating at least 7 of those. Take a look at both over the past month here. A 200 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 078 through 53 batters. How about this, Kevin? First game I told you about an under. How about in game number 2 we're talking about an under down in Baltimore?
How about that? Dylan Cease, though, again, at that price has to be a bit appetizing. Even if Voth has been solid, even if Baltimore has been solid. I mean, look, the last time we saw Cease out there, he was a part of a winning effort against the Houston Astros. He's just going to give this team a good chance to win. And again, be able to get it at about a minus 140 is a bit appetizing to me. The Mets and Yanks are back at it again here. Not Jacob DeGrom. Minus 130, Frankie Montas has the ball against Taijuan Walker. Now, I still don't know, maybe because of the proximity. Home field advantage is not as strong in a Subway Series. But I would expect the Yankees at home, typically, not against DeGrom, not against Scherzer, to be a little bit have a heavier favorite. I wonder if we are seeing the Yankees, you know, Frankie Montas, who was added at the deadline to hopefully come in and be a super steady arm for them, being priced as not all that impressive. It'd be understandable. Frankie Montas has not been very good as a Yankee. What do you make of this number here in a Subway Series matchup?
Yeah, first two games we looked at unders, Kevin. We're going to go opposite in this game and look towards the over, and it's pretty simple to me. You're looking at last night where the Mets only scored 2 runs. I had the team total over 4. It didn't work out in my favor, but I have no shame in coming back to the New York Mets thinking they can get a team total tonight because Montas has been terrible, at least the left-handed batters. But if we take a look as a whole over the past 30 days for Montas, close to a 5.5 xFIP number, strikeout percentage 13%, and also, as I said, 28 batters he's faced from the left-hand side, Kevin. They've really gotten after him, a 572 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 350. Why is that important? Looks like 6+ batters from the left-hand side anticipated in the lineup for those New York Mets. So let's flip it over to the New York Yankees, who, quite frankly, we thought they were going to get a right-handed pitcher on the mound tonight, which they are, but we thought it was going to be Jacob DeGrom. Now, here's the problem with the New York Yankees, which, again, maybe is a little bit from what we saw early in April and May. Looking at this lineup, and again, it's a right-handed pitcher. Sometimes you would struggle against lefties by saying, we just don't see them that much, and we just haven't gotten around to really hitting them. Well, Taijuan Walker has been absolutely brutal over the past month. A 6.75 xFIP number, not a big strikeout guy. Lefty-righty splits, Kevin, take a look at this. Lefties weighted on base percentage against him, 469 with a 406. A 406 ISO power number. Righties, a 356 weighted on base percentage. But look at this lineup here for the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge, 101 at-bats over the past month against right-handed pitching. He's been sensational. 342 ISO power number and a 459. Every single other batter in the lineup today weighted on base percentage, which again, you look at that 325 baseline, they are all under. So we're taking a leap of faith with the Yankees that they'll get it together. Why? Because everybody seemingly gets it together against Taijuan Walker, and also the Mets should be able to hit Frankie Montas. I'm looking for an over, even though yesterday offenses were stymied and I liked a couple unders to start the day. I think this one in the Bronx goes over.
interesting spot. Another interesting number is the Frankie Montas strikeout prop. It's 4.5 at minus 144. If you're a projection player, you'll see that he would make a lot of sense to the over. But those projections are hoping that Frankie Montas can regain form, and I'm not sure he deserves that trust. His Ks per nine was about a 9.5, 9.4 to be exact, in these opening games for Oakland. So far, with three starts as a New York Yankee, it's a 5.4. It's a huge drop-off there. And it's giving you no chance to get over some strikeout numbers that, again, the projections are anticipating being winners. And you're paying a minus 144 right now to go over that 4.5. It's a tough spot. It's a tough spot to be in with Montas. If you don't mind taking a leap of faith, again, the projections are shining on him, but his performances have been nowhere near justifying playing that number. Let's see if we can sneak in Angels Rays here. The expectation isn't runs. Why? Well, the Los Angeles Angels are playing. I don't remember the last time I saw an Angels game that had a total at like a 9 or something like that. They're awful. They're terrible. They are miserable. They were out there yesterday. They scored one run. Who was surprised? Donnie, do you expect the same thing?
I expect the same thing. Not a lot of runs in this game. We just talked about two unders followed by an over. Let's get back to the under train here. It's only a 7, and that's for good reason here. If you take a look at Suarez over the past 30 days, he's been good. Look at these splits here, Kevin. Left-handed pitcher on the mound at 245 to lefties, 192 to righties, and a weighted on base percentage lining up against those hitters for the Tampa Bay Rays. And then we just flip it over and say, hey, look at this. Ohtani and Trout in the lineup. Yeah, who cares? Kluber hasn't even been that good, and he still should melt this lineup down. This game screams 3-2 as another low-scoring affair for me.
It's tough, man. It's pretty tough. I mean, they have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. Nobody cares. Nobody expects anything. They're in Los Angeles, by the way. It's just, all right, that's your LA Angels breakdown. Don't expect them to score. Not wrong. We take a break. We come back. Still more baseball preview coming. You are watching and listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Baseball preview continues right here on The Early Line. Taking a look now at Blue Jays, Red Sox. You've got a road favorite here in Toronto. 9.5 is the total. The road favorite status, though, is a touch under minus 150 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Looks like the expectation is runs. Is that how you're seeing this matchup?
Yeah, there is runs here. And also, when you take a look at the pitching matchup overall, Kevin, you say to yourself, like, all right, well, who's going to be on the mound here for Toronto? Who cares who's on the mound for Toronto? We're going right to Toronto's batters, A1-9. Who's batting, Kevin? You know what? Who actually cares who's batting for Toronto? It's all about the pitching today. It's all about Winkowski. Remember these moments here. I talked about last week saying, man, he just got lit up. And you got to, now they send him back down. We don't know if we're going to see him again. Look at this. Couple things happen with Boston. You don't want to blow through one of your better prospects. You know who's back up in the major leagues? It's Winkowski and his 6.26 xFIP number over the past 30 days. Take a look at these splits here. Now, if you're an opposing opponent, you're fighting to get back in the lineup. You're struggling a little bit here. You want to be in. Why? Because Winkowski, who's a right-handed pitcher, Kevin, the lefties over the past month, a 380 weighted on base percentage, ISO 254 against right-handed batters, which we know the lumber yard over there for the Toronto Blue Jays can really get after it, a 423 weighted on base percentage to righties, along with a 286 ISO power number. The guy is striking out under 10% of the batters that he's faced, which is around 100 of those over the past month. With Count Winkowski gets lit up, he wasn't even expecting to be back this quick. Ah, you know what? Let me work on some things and send you back down. Within a few days, he's right back up, and Toronto should go yard in Boston tonight.
Team total for the Blue Jays is a 5 at minus 122 to the over. They're coming off of an off day after taking 3 out of 4 against the New York Yankees. But to Donnie's point before that, sputtering a little bit, right? But the last time before, again, that nice little 3 in a row that they took off the Yankees, it was when they were in Boston. They got some fond memories of absolutely beating up on this baseball team. Start the second half, 28-5, 4-1, and then an 8-4 on that Sunday. I believe yours truly was in the building for that 8-4. How about that one there? We keep this party rocking, though, with D-backs Roy. You know, I'll be honest, I start a sentence sometimes, and I don't know what game is coming up. I mean, leave me down. I say we keep this party rocking with D-backs Royals. I mean, that's not particularly true, but maybe it is. What I mean, game totals a 9. It's Stinger Tuesday. What is this game one?
Yeah, this game's going over. So anytime we're going to get overs to talk about after a day where it went 8 straight unders to end the night last night, you need some of these games to factor in. And yes, the Diamondbacks are going up against, you guessed it, a right-handed pitcher. And why is that a lot of fun? Because the ability to stack many, many left-handed batters to go up against that righty. But how about this today? You're going to get 3 right-handed batters, it looks like, in the lineup today for Arizona. Oh, no! That ruins our narrative. We like to have 8 or 9 left-handed batters. Don't worry about it. Take a look at Haseley over the past month here, 5.50 xFIP number, strikeout percentage below 15%, but get this, you like this, 26 batters that he's faced, which isn't a lot over the past 30 days from the right-hand side, a 504 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 385, but Donnie, there's only 3 right-handed batters, how about the lefties? Don't worry, a 231 ISO for Haseley against left-handed batters would be just sufficient here against the Diamondbacks, but also, let's flip it over. So many times, we just say, all right, the total might get there for the Diamondbacks because of the way they match up. How about Zach Davies? 5.26 xFIP number on the card today for him over the past 30 days. And look at this. He's a right-handed pitcher to righties, a 405 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 308. 2 bad baseball teams will match up tonight, and we'll get some runs. How about that?
Man, how about that? I guess the party does keep on going with Diamondbacks Royals. I should have known that Haseley was out there, man. That 1-7 record shining absolutely like a star. It's a road favorite number on Arizona, just to kind of give you that full perspective there. How about Twins Astros? Big series here for Minnesota as they're trying to keep up with the Guardians and AL Central race overall. But boy, oh boy, is this a lopsided affair right now. I mean, hold on a minute now. Hold on a minute now. Listen, sometimes you just got to go hand up and, oh, all right, never mind. Never mind. I'll tell you that one off air.
I know where you go.
Talk to me here. Yeah. Justin Verlander's going up against good old versus friend who? Aaron Sanchez. I mean, that was the deal here. I mean, they've even got Aaron Sanchez dressed up like Adamal Sanchez in the Washington Nationals attire. It's like, how did he make his way to a contender in Minnesota? What was going on there, Donnie? The ERAs look the same.
I mean, the ultimate rubber arm, man. This guy can pitch Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for multiple teams. But obviously, we know it's not the same guy, but it does throw you off. So and as soon as you said, hold on, I knew exactly where this was going. So certainly it is going to be a mismatch tonight. Verlander, you know what's interesting about him? His splits are ridiculously filthy over the past month. Lefty batters here, 197 weighted on base percentage. Righties, a 231. How about the ISO power number? Keep in mind, again, ISO power numbers, if we forget, 175 or higher as a pitcher is not where you want to be. He's at 085 and 041 respectively between lefties and righties. But the xFIP number over 4.5 is something to keep an eye on. But if we are matching up Aaron Sanchez here, take a look at this, though. Limited batters that he's faced. It's 22 batters over the past month. He's actually been very good. A 308 weighted on base percentage to lefties and a 138 to righties. But having said that, are we really going against Verlander at home in this environment? I'm certainly not going to do that. But also, maybe lending to the Houston Astros trend of we're an under team, it's probably going to go under again today.
Interesting spot there. Look, I mean, you've got Justin Verlander on the mound here. It's above a minus 300 against a team that is in a division race. What are you doing? What are you doing, Minnesota? I know Verlander's earned that price. I understand, but I mean, you cannot be throwing these Aaron Sanchez starts out there if you want to be seen as a legitimate contender. How about Rangers and Rockies here? We are going to be seeing a Coors Field matchup between Marquez and Dunning. Total is an 11. We found a couple of spots on this board with juice. Does this as well fit the description?
I think maybe a little bit of juice coming here from the Texas side of things and how they match up against Ramon Marquez. Obviously, being in Colorado doesn't hurt. 83 degrees, nominal wind out there, so it's not going to really have any effect. So a decent hitting day up in the thin air of Coors Field. But over the past 30 days, Marquez has that xFIP approaching a 5. Not a huge strikeout guy, but he has done really well, Kevin, against right-handed batters. A 183 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 088. That is sensational. But he's really gotten hit around from the left-hand side, and that's a weighted on base percentage of 4. 455 coupled with an ISO of 267. Why is that important? We're anticipating about six left-handed batters, including switch hitters here for the Texas Rangers tonight. So that thin air, warmer weather, Marquez struggling against lefties. Maybe you're looking at a Dinger Tuesday shot for Nathan Lowe at a 259 ISO power number and a 385 weighted on base percentage from the left-hand side. Something to keep an eye on tonight, but I think there's a good chance that the Rangers score some runs.
How about that? Big time total here again, but the Rangers number is a 5 at minus 122. Rockies number checks in 5.5 at a plus 100 spot towards that over there. Maybe even involved in a dog price if you're a little more interested in Texas overall. Nice series here between the Padres and the Guardians. Minus 154, Mike Clevinger against Savali. Total is an 8. This is a big series for both. One of them is in a divisional race, which could enter a wild card situation in the Guardians. The Padres are still deep in this NL wild card race. Again, there's no guarantees about the Padres making the postseason here. Juan Soto and Manny Machado up against Jose Ramirez and these Guardians. It's a fun, fun little matchup. What are you seeing on the board?
Certainly looking at under 8 here, but maybe a live dog matchup here for the Guardians, Kevin, at a plus 130 price. Why? Savali has been very good over the past month. Take a look at this XFIP, a 2.40, and here's what you like, Kevin. 38 batters he's faced over the past 30 days. Here's one for you. A strikeout percentage, 37%. So certainly doing some damage and doing his job. Here's a right-handed pitcher against lefties, a 188 weighted on base percentage with an ISO of 043 to righties, a 225 weighted on base percentage and a 154 ISO power number. Now, we do have some pretty good numbers here for the San Diego Padres lineup against righties over the past month, but I'm going to say, look at this. We have a pitching ballpark today, a playoff type atmosphere, so maybe it lends it to be a little bit lower. Here's the issue that might pop up. Clevinger's had over 100 batters, Kevin, that he's faced over the past month in Major League Baseball, but his XFIP is actually over a 6. Strikeout percentage around 15%. Lefty's getting the best of him at a 360 weighted on base percentage. Now, not a overpowering, imposing lineup here for the Cleveland Guardians, but if you look at this, Juan Ramirez, Naylor, Jimenez, Benson, so it looks like at least 5 left-handed batters in the lineup. I think it's worth a swing here on the dog price of the Guardians at that plus 130.
How about as well this little Savali nugget you dropped there? That number looks like it's going to be 3.5. Look around, it's not popped up on FanDuel just yet. Hopefully it does. Projections say it. The numbers say it. A lot of good stuff there on Savali. Yeah. Certainly something we're going to keep our eye on in the strikeout market. We close it out here with Dodgers Brewers. Gonsolin Burns. We alluded to this game in hour number one. The Dodgers have their ace on the mound at home at under minus 150. Speaks to the respect that Corbin Burns commands in the market. Total is a 7. What do you like here in Dodgers Brewers?
Peeling back caps tonight here, K-Dub, in this game for both of these pitchers. I mean, you're looking at good lineups overall, the way they rate over the past 30 days, but my goodness, the heat is going to be on. Strikeouts are going to be there, and we'll see if the bullpens can hang on. Takes 8 to beat you tonight. Do I think the Milwaukee Brewers win? Not necessarily. Do I want to bet against the Dodgers? Not necessarily, but I can see this game once again. 4-0, probably not. 4-2, 4-1, 4-3, somewhere in that range here, keeping you in the ballpark of an under.
It's really interesting just, you know, for both of these pitchers to be back out there, right, up against lineups that they saw recently. Corbin Burns up against the Los Angeles Dodgers, 5 2/3 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned runs. That, for Corbin Burns, is far from spotless baseball. Gonsolin, dominant. 7 scoreless innings, 8 strikeouts to just 1 walk. I know minus 150 maybe doesn't usually scream value, but for the Dodgers ace at home, it might just be on Gonsolin. We'll be right back. We're going back to the Big Ten.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back to the Big Ten. Hour number one, Big Ten East. Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State. Someone is going to the Big Ten West, or it's going to go to that Big Ten championship from the Big Ten West, and Wisconsin is the favorite. So that is where we begin. A win total for the Badgers right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, checking in at a 9, plus 110 towards that over. Again, the favorites right now to win this division, though the odds within that division are quite interesting overall. Talk to me on the Badgers DRS here, win total of 9.
Yeah, if we take a look at the 9 and you go over, you do get that plus at 110. But also, the, what's that mean to cash that ticket? And Kevin, you need 10 games. But here's the interesting thought process behind Wisconsin. We know what they like to do. They like to run the football. As I see the top 5 running backs from last year all returning. That spells great news for Wisconsin, right? Huh? They're living really in the Stone Age, like I used to talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes, from the quarterback position and the wide receivers, because they don't have much back in either. So, hey, Graham Mertz is back. DJ Uiagalelei, we actually threw for more touchdowns than him last year, a 10-9 margin, which is ridiculous. If you're starting at least 5 games in college football, you better have 10 touchdown passes, let alone maybe a starter that's going to be there full time. But if I look at the actual team itself, it's not all that bad, because when you have the upper echelon, you know, power 5 groups, they do more reload than retool at this point. But also, the tough games are at Michigan State and at Ohio State. If we're looking at the way they play football, probably 2 losses in those games, which wipes that out right away and say, well, you pretty much have to be perfect. But this isn't one of those institutions, Kevin, like Ohio State, or you know, you can really get after it on offense and ramp it up to 40 points. It seems like there's going to be a lot of margin for error through the season. I should say, not a lot of margin for error, where is if you're a high fly offense, hey, maybe put 45 points on the board, able to squeak by. It seems like to me there's going to be a lot of 24-21, 20-17 type games in Wisconsin's future. Good football team here, great schedule set up, but I don't know if they have the dogs to go out and execute a 10-win season here.
Yeah, Wisconsin really struggled out of the starting gate last year. Lost a home. Interesting to schedule Penn State week number 1, right? Those conference games are always a little odd, but they played Penn State week 1, lost. Notre Dame, route. Michigan, route. Then they were able to rip off a bunch of wins in a row, lost their final regular season game there to Minnesota, which is kind of interesting to see. It was an 8-4 regular season. It's a 9, but you're looking to win, right? Can this team get to 10? With Graham Mertz, I struggle to believe that, because I don't think the defense, Donnie, is looking to be as good as it has been maybe in years past, and that right there alone can just be the difference overall. Braylon Allen is a star. An absolute star. Some might tell you the best running back in the sport. If you want to take a shot on the Heisman, then you have to think that this team is going to win the Big Ten West. They are favored to do so. But again, if you drop the game to Ohio State, right, you are going to travel to Michigan State. They have to go to both Iowa and Nebraska, who are the second and third options on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the Big Ten West. That is what makes this difficult for Wisconsin. Again, we always are going to talk about schedules here when we're doing these breakdowns, and I don't think the Badgers, all in all, kind of where of it, Donnie, is the issue. At Ohio State, no chance. Can't even talk about the game, right? Having to go to the Nebraskas and Iowas, that to me is why it's a little bit different. Let's move over to Iowa. I know Nebraska's the second best odds, but I want to start with Iowa just because typically the Hawkeyes are viewed as that other team, if you will, to the Badgers, and because the breakdown, I think, always is often so similar, right? Playing football in a different era, all in all. 7.5, though, for Iowa, who consistently give you a winning season. What do you think about the Hawkeyes coming into the year?
It's interesting. You look at the 7.5 and you say to yourself, it makes some sense here, right? Because they're always going to be a competent football team. But if anybody goes back on my Twitter account with me, anytime I catch an Iowa football game, my initial tweets are, I'm watching college football being set 100 years back on offense because of the way they play. But that might work out in their favor, because when you take a look at the Big Ten West Division, who is the front runner here? Well, Wisconsin, they play, as you said, almost identical football to Iowa to hang around. You have 8 returning starters, Kevin, on offense, 8 returning starters on defense. You have your quarterback back. Now, similar to like Murs, like, hey, man, that's great. 10 touchdown passes last year. You got to improve on that. But if you're looking for a ground game that you figure takes a little bit of a hit because you lost your starter from last year, but you do have some decent wide receivers back and also a very solid tight end. Sounds exactly the way Iowa wants to play. If we're looking at their tougher games, Michigan, Ohio State, and Wisconsin, I think this is a legitimate chance here. And it's cheap, too. The over is a 7.5 at a minus 105 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you're just going to play competent football with that schedule, Iowa's going to be on the mix. And sometimes, instead of cashing that ticket and say, how do I get to 8 or 9 wins, sometimes you just need to be in the ballpark to have a chance. And Iowa is going to be in the ballpark to have a chance at doing that.
Here's the thing with Iowa. They are too consistent to fade, right? But I'm not betting the over and then having to watch what this team's going to put forward. The defense should be phenomenal, right? The defensive line and the linebacker core is largely returning, and the Big Ten defensive back of the year in Moss is back as well. So the defense, Donnie, should be awesome. But a school record 25 picks last season led the country. 11 different players picked off a pass. Turnover stuff usually regresses. Now, again, I know that it's who Iowa is, so maybe it doesn't regress, but that's my worry because there's no world in which we are going to be out here and we are trusting this offense to do anything. Look, they're just, to me, at 7.5, it's a full pass, right? 8.5, it's like, it's not too much. A flat 7, okay, you should be almost free-rolling there. It's just not that. But it's interesting, right? We talk about Iowa. You can tell, right? Juices aren't flowing. Wisconsin, okay. The team that's got a lot of people excited, Nebraska. The second best odds to win the Big Ten West. Donnie, last year this team won 3 football games. Only 1 win in Big Ten play. But here is the outrageous thing. In part due to a 56-7 victory over Northwestern, and because they lost every single close game they played, do you know they had a positive point differential in Big Ten play despite going 1-8? People are hoping that this group is due for some major big-time positive regression. Another 7.5 win total for Nebraska. Casey Thompson from Texas is here. Mark Whipple, the offensive mastermind, if you will, behind last year's Pittsburgh offense. Where are you at on Nebraska?
Yeah, Whipple's going to be a lot of fun here. And the one thing that we've shown all throughout his career is the dominance of his offense. Forget about the defense, because obviously you win games on offense and defense. But if you're looking like a team total guy like myself, even a win total guy, you're going to be looking at Nebraska saying there something has to change. And maybe the quarterback change is what they needed. You have Martinez who runs around ultimately super fast, just never was able to get Nebraska where they needed to get to. So maybe a quarterback change at hands, including Mark Whipple as the coordinator, will help out. If we're taking a look at Kevin, their tough games on the season, Oklahoma, at Michigan, and Wisconsin, it's manageable to get through. There's enough talent on this team. And also, if you're sort of combining the Mark Whipple offense with more of a high-tempo Frost offense, this is going to be very interesting to watch it play out. I don't know how the defense will be able to step up and, hey, you know what, we're a little bit down in our statistics because our offense goes so fast. I don't even care about that. I'm just looking at the offense overall for itself, a team total eye-opener for me because, as you said, anywhere Mark Whipple goes, he usually touches that offense and it turns to gold. Even at UMass, UMass stinks. So what? UMass getting beat felt like 55-45 every single week when he was at UMass. So I like this move here to Mark Whipple. It intrigues me a lot. I don't know if they have the horses, but you're asking for an 8-4 stretch here in a lower conference there in the Big Ten West. Maybe it's in the cards for them. And also, let's not forget, it's not as if Nebraska is 13-1 to win this out of the division. They're plus 350, only behind plus 170 Wisconsin.
Here is the really interesting thing about Nebraska. Their schedule looks different, I feel like, than all of these other Big Ten schedules we go through. Where it's like everybody's going to beat up everybody, right? For some reason, it feels lighter, right? They're a huge favorite against Northwestern and Dublin. Yeah. They're a big North Dakota, Georgia Southern. You expect them, obviously, to grab both of those. Indiana's supposed to be bottom barrel. They get them home. They're going to go to Rutgers. They're going to be a legitimate big favorite there. They're hosting Illinois. I know you're low on them. They're going to host Minnesota. Those 7 games, Donnie, early, I mean, we're talking about a group that could be above a touchdown favorite in all of them. And there, by the way, are some people who are super high on Nebraska who are not going to be scared of that Oklahoma matchup. That rivalry might feel very, very back by the time we get to week number 4. And, hey, if they win that game, it'll feel super back, no doubt about it. My issue in terms of the big leap with Nebraska, Donnie, while I understand due for positive regression, you're going to have to go 6-3, you would imagine, right, in this division, all in all, or in Big Ten play, rather, right? You're going to have to probably win 9 games. It's just a lot in 1 year. It's a ton to do in 1 season. And that's the hesitation. I'm over the 7.5, solid, right? But Big Ten West, second best odds, it's a lot to do. But this Nebraska schedule lines up, and I really like Casey Thompson. I thought he was a ton of fun to watch at Texas. If this offensive line keeps him clean, he is going to be very, very good this year. 101 to win the Heisman. If he is able to go out there and get to the Big Ten West title game, You never know. You never know. Donnie, let's make sure we give ourselves a little more time here. Favorite win total overall anywhere you'd like in the Big Ten?
We're going under Illinois here, 4.5. And I want to keep this, you know, constant here. At plus 110, took Virginia yesterday at a plus 135 to go over. Now, the interesting part about that is these two teams actually match up, Kevin, which I love. It feels like this is a double-sided, you only need to watch one game of the season where you might get two winners out of it because these two teams match up in week three. That game is going to be in Illinois. So if I can get a Virginia win and an Illinois loss there, I'll be sitting on easy street. If it goes the opposite way, that's not going to look good in my favor. But just taking a look at the schedule overall, you better get your wins early if you're Illinois. Wyoming, first game at home, should be a win. On the road against Indiana, might be a toss-up there. Virginia at home in Chattanooga, then here's where we start. Because if we're looking at a team that I'm all not that high on here with Brett Bielema trying to turn this back into, let's finally get Wisconsin here, big uglies on the offensive line to run the football and play good defense. Take a look at this schedule. At Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, at Nebraska, Michigan State, Purdue, at Michigan, that final game at Northwestern, which might be that key ingredient there. I'm not high on Illinois. I just need them to stumble against Virginia and maybe in Indiana to start off early, and I don't see very many wins on this slate. I want to keep taking the plus money on these win totals yesterday and over with Virginia. I'm going in under with Illinois at the 4.5 and a plus 110 price.
How about that little anti-love on the Illini there? Like yesterday, I had an under. Yep. You had an over. Your over was at a big plus price. It was inspiring, Donnie. We've got a plus 125 over on Purdue at 7.5. Here is the thing with this group. Aiden O'Connell, preseason second best quarterback in this conference. CJ Stroud, number one, we've got it. Aiden O'Connell, though, can be special, and his entire offensive line returns in front of him. The defense lost quite a bit in Karlaftis. I understand all of that there, but they have plenty of time to figure that group out. And as per, you know what we're about to talk about, this schedule. Forget me listing game after game after game. If you look at that schedule, outside of a trip to Wisconsin, every other game is winnable. No Ohio State, no Michigan, no Michigan State, getting to host Penn State, getting to host Iowa. I'm not telling you they're going to win 11 games, but I'm telling you they're live in 11 of their 12 football games. Purdue has a legitimate chance to win that Big Ten West. I'll tell you what, if you want to bet the Big Ten West, I think you take a little bit of Purdue, grab a little bit of the Golden Gophers as well. DRS will close out the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, last segment of the day here for a Tuesday on the early line. Down your right side, along with Kevin Walsh, as always, bringing the heat from 7 to 9 a.m. right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. Now, topic of the day here for Listen Up is Friday Night Lights coach passes away. And I'm going to tell you why. This was very influential to me growing up. So listen up. Friday Night Lights, many all you young bucks here know the television show, which was actually a movie back in 2004 and a book from 1988 published in 1990. Gary Gaines passed away here, the famous coach from Friday Night Lights, played by Billy Bob Thornton. Now, this was Permian football, mojo football in the 1980s, bigger than life, West Texas football. Read the book in my youth or in the early 90s and reread it again about maybe I'd say 10 years ago and really went down a rabbit hole because it brings back so many emotions from that book itself. You had Mike Winchell at quarterback, Boobie Miles at quarterback, two guys that you probably would surf the internet and are legendary figures at Permian High School, but also throughout high school football across the land. It's 17-year-olds, it's 18-year-olds living their life in the best moments of time. As I would always say, 1995, my senior year in high school, when I played high school football, maybe the best 4 to 5 months of my life. Didn't culminate in the state championship, and neither did that 1988 Permian team, but the lifelong lessons that you learn from head coaches and also players unite you for life there. It's one of those books that really captured my attention. Loved the movie and also the television show that was on, but certainly throughout time, one of the best books ever written that I've read. certainly was Friday Night Lights from that 1988 season where they lost to Dallas Carter, who Dallas Carter went on to win the state championship, only to have it taken away due to way too many guys doing the wrong things, skipping out of class and doing some things off the field as well. But influential coach Gary Gaines, Friday Night Lights, passes away at the age of 73. Rest in peace, coach. You touched a lot of our souls out here who love high school football, college football, and pro football. Heck, it is football season here on the grid, and we'll continue with much, much more. Guess what's coming up next? Ben Stevens and the Morning After. Stay tuned.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.